the Church Experience Online. We're so happy that you joined us today. As you watch this teaching video, if you have any questions or need help getting connected, please don't hesitate to reach out by phone or email. Also, our website is the best place to go if you'd like to access helpful Growth Step resources, join a serving team, connect in a life group, get your questions answered, or support this movement financially by giving online. At the end of this teaching video, you'll hear one of our Church Experience Worship original songs. We hope this gives you an opportunity to worship and reflect on what you learned. Thanks again for joining us at Church Experience Online.
Well, Merry Christmas. Can you believe we made it? I mean, this year it kind of feels like we survived. We did it. We got through 2020. You know, last week in one of our in-person services, I accidentally said, referring to next year, 2022, and I didn't know I did it at the time, but after the service, people were leaving and they were catching me afterwards and like, hey, did you realize that you accidentally said 2022 instead of 2021? I was like, no, I didn't even know I did that, but I'm not surprised. Because I think my mind, like, subliminally just, like, skipped over next year because it's like, man, that's too much. What I went through in 2020, overload, let's just skip ahead a whole nother year. Let's get away from 2020 as far as we could go. But, you know, there's been so much going on this year, right? I mean, there's been a lot going on. But you sometimes have to be reminded that this isn't the only time in history that the whole world was shaken up. And if you go back to the Christmas story, which we want to read today in Luke chapter 2, you'll see that there was a lot going on at that time in that part of the world too. A lot going on. Look, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. You know, there's a whole world that's being shaken up. There's a census being taken, and people are traveling to other places. And a lot's happening, but there's a fascinating verse that's tucked right into this Christmas story that I love. It's in verse 3. Did you catch it? It said, and everyone went to their own town to register. You know, that really caught me this Christmas, that everyone went to their own town to register. We know that Mary and Joseph had to travel to Bethlehem. Like, if you've heard the Christmas story once, you know that they had to travel. That's a big part of the story. But I don't know if I ever thought about that before this year, that everyone, it said, and everyone, would you just help me out? Just say everyone. Yeah, everyone. Like, everybody had to go where they needed to be. And so it wasn't just something that affected a few people. It affected that whole part of the world. And we're experiencing that this year. Something that is so indiscriminate, like the COVID-19 virus, that it's impacted everybody in some way. It's impacted everyone. And thankfully, vaccines and medicines are coming out and all that. There's some good news coming down the road, we believe. But still, it's impacted everyone. And if you go back and look at the story in verse 4 and 5, right in the midst of all that that is happening in that time, when this census is being taken place, it's impacting, it said the word everyone. Verse 4, Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. So right there in the middle of everyone being affected, well, everyone is focusing on what's happening in the world. And there was something big happening in the world that was disrupting many people's lives and their travel plans. I mean, it was impacting everybody. But right in the middle of that story, God was doing something specific and something special in the life of Mary and Joseph to bring about the life of Jesus on earth. So while there was something happening to everyone, God was busy doing something special with someone. And what I want you to hear today is that even though there's something in our world that's happening to everyone, it's disrupting everything, God is up to something, something special in our lives. He's still at work in us. Even though there's chaos around us, he's still at work among us. See, we sometimes can get lost in the shuffling of the deck and the craziness. And I asked my son Kylan to help us out because he's got a fun card trick. And I want you to watch this, and I want to explain something after you watch this video. Check it out.
Okay, I have a trick for you too. Tell me to stop once I get to the middle of the deck.
Okay. Stop.
This is your card.
Okay.
See that?
Yeah.
See
yeah.
it? Okay. I'm going to use your name. K-I-R-R-A. Is this your card?
Yeah.
Yeah, how did you do that?
Okay, and if you think that's cool, is that your card?
Yeah! How did you do that? That's so cool!
Man, that's pretty good. You know, that's impressive. And whenever you see someone do a card trick, it's pretty amazing because you're like, how did they do that? And then they always say, well, a magician never reveals their secrets. But when you have someone that's shuffling a deck of cards, and they say, is this your card? And then all of a sudden they pull it out. You're like, how did that happen? See, when the deck is being shuffled, you don't always know where your card is, but the illusionist knows where your card is. They know where it's at all times. They know where they're leading you. Even though the deck is being shuffled, you don't know where it's going to land. You don't know where you are, but they do. And they know how it's going to turn out. That's the whole magic behind the trick, is that they know where it's going. They know where your card is. They know where it's going to turn up. And you know, sometimes in life when the deck is being shuffled on us and things are getting mixed up and our circumstances are crazy, we can get lost in the shuffle. But I want to share with you a message this Christmas that I believe will help you as you move into a new year, and that's that God is working inside the shuffle. God is working inside the shuffle. Despite the fact that I don't understand what's going on, like Mary and Joseph, they're having to travel and everybody's being disrupted and the whole world is in chaos, God is doing something special inside the shuffle. And our world this year has been a shuffle. I mean, the deck has been shuffled. Things have been changed so much. But God is still at work inside the shuffle. In fact, he's always at work regardless of our circumstances. He's good at turning messy into a masterpiece. In fact, sometimes you need messy to get momentum. You need things to be a little messy and imperfect for things to change in order for them to improve. But God is at work turning the messes into masterpieces if we'll look for where he's at work in our lives. I want to go back to the Christmas story and look at verse 6. I love this verse. It says, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. I'm going to come back to that. And she gave birth, Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. There's no guest room available for them. And this situation happened in unideal circumstances for Mary and Joseph. You know, there were not travel plans that they would have made purposefully on their own. It was something that happened to them. There wasn't a room available for them, so they had to stay in less than ideal circumstances. I mean, so many of us this year feel like, okay, this sounds familiar because things are just not ideal. They're not how I planned them. But look what God was doing all along. And look what happened. This is why I love verse 6 so much. This is so good. while they were there, while they were there where they had not planned to be. And you can take this away from just geography. While they were there in the situation, while you were there in the situation you never planned to be in. No, you were there in the middle of that year that you never would have planned on your own. Like, while they were there, in the midst of the chaos, while they were there, I love this statement. The time came for the baby to be born. The time came. It did eventually come. So even though the world had been waiting for a Savior for so long, and even though that Mary and Joseph, they had been waiting for months for this baby to be born, the time eventually came. It wasn't on their timeline. It wasn't in the way they would have planned it, but it came. The time for Jesus to show up came. Jesus came. See, he was the fulfillment of so many prophecies. He was planned long ago. God's salvation plan for a sinful world was Jesus. In fact, Jesus explains this. If you look a little bit later in the book of Luke, into Luke chapter 24, verse 25, Jesus, he's grown up, he's teaching, and he says, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah, talking about himself, he says, did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So he took time to walk through the Old Testament. He took time to explain God's written plan that had been prophesied about him, about the coming king. And he took all this time to explain to them because he wanted them to know that he was the fulfillment of God's plan from long ago. I mean, you look at some of these messianic prophecies that are so amazing, like Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. It says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. And you will call him Emmanuel. So God said how it was going to happen. And it happened exactly that way. You look at Micah 5, 2, where it says that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. You know, dozens of verses, these prophecies that were fulfilled, it's fascinating. You can study it. In fact, it's very interesting. And I just want to make a side point for those of you. Some of you might struggle intellectually with your faith. And maybe you heard something on, you know, from a friend or in college, or you read something on the internet, and it causes you to have intellectual doubts about your faith. And I would encourage you to press into the things that make you wonder, that pique your curiosity when it comes to your faith, and learn. Go to Christian scholars. Go to good, solid sources. And bring your questions, bring your doubts, because here's what's going to happen. You have a choice to engage your curiosity or to settle into apathy. And when you settle into apathy and doubt, a lazy doubt, I'll call it, what happens is you can become really casual in your faith because you have these questions that keep you from fully committing, from being all in. And it's like you believe, but you're kind of hesitant to jump all into your faith because you're like, well, what if? Maybe it's not all true. Maybe there's some things that I don't know, how could this happen and how could this be? And I want to encourage you to seek out some Christian scholars and bring your doubts, bring your questions. You know, if you're just looking for a foundational place to start, you know, Lee Strobel is probably one of the more well-known apologists. And he talks about, you know, his books, The Case for Faith, The Case for Christ. He gives a very intellectual approach to our faith in Jesus and why it makes so much sense to believe and why our questions can be answered in Christ. And so I would encourage you, if that's you or someone you love this Christmas season, don't settle into lazy doubt, but engage your curiosity and pursue some good Christian sources for your questions this Christmas. Well, Jesus came, and Jesus was the fulfillment of God's pre-announced plan. You know, all these prophecies in the Bible, it's amazing, over and over again, all these messianic prophecies that he fulfilled, dozens of them, things that God said specifically about Jesus that he fulfilled when he came. And here's the point of why I want to say all this. When you see how God works in the past, it gives you confidence for your future. And here's the lesson if you're writing this down. I will trust God's perfect plan and his timeline. That's where I want to get to. That I can trust in God's perfect timeline and his perfect plan for my life. Because I see how he works. I see how this whole, human race had struggled with sin and all the issues that were there. You read the whole story of God's people throughout the Old Testament, and woven through all of that was the story of Christ, the coming king. And God said he was going to come at a certain time, in a certain way, in a certain place. He set up the scenario, and Jesus came and he fulfilled God's plan. So here's my point. You can trust that God is at work in your life. He's putting all the puzzle pieces together, even when you can't identify it. You're like, I don't see what this picture is. I don't understand it. You can know that God is still at work in your life, even when you can't identify what that picture is. He's a master artisan. And he'll work through even your brokenness and your struggles. And Jesus was the fulfillment of God's plan. So stay faithful. Wait on the Lord. Trust in him. Don't give up on him, because he's not giving up on you. Jesus came once, and Jesus is coming again. So stay true to him. Follow him. Trust that in the same way that Jesus showed up, he's going to keep showing up in our lives. I want to go back to Luke chapter 2 and down in verse 8. The Christmas story is so beautiful, so many fun aspects of it. And something I like here that happens in verse 8, some other characters are brought in. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" What a beautiful story. And these shepherds are out, you know, on their grind, they're watching sheep. It was their occupation. It was important. And they're busy doing what they were doing. But the thing is, they would have, just like almost every other person at that time, they would have missed the most important thing happening in their life. Not even just in their lifetime, but the most important event to ever happen, the birth and life of Jesus Christ. I mean, it was going on down the street. Yet they would have totally missed it. Like, follow me on this. They would have completely missed it had the angels not intervened and said, hey guys, there's something important going on. And it wasn't like what they were doing was unimportant. Like, somebody needed to protect the sheep. Right? Hey, follow me on this. Somebody needed to make sure that the sheep were well taken care of. That was their occupation, so that meant that's the way they provided for their families. That was important work that they had to do. Somebody needed to do it. The angels didn't show up and say, "What you're doing is not important." The angels showed up because they said, "We don't want you to miss something that's more important. There's a macro story going on here, but you're so focused on the micro part of your story. You're in your daily grind. So I got to bring your gaze up, raise your gaze to something higher, something more significant that's happening in your life. Something that you would miss if I didn't intervene." And I don't know about you, but sometimes I get so focused on what's right in front of me. Like, what's happening tomorrow? What's on the task list? What needs to be done? You know, what meeting's next? What's happening around me? And I could get so focused on the daily grind. But I think what God would say to us is, hey, raise your gaze. Like, look up, because I'm doing something bigger. There's a bigger picture. There's a macro story going on. And it's always about Jesus. That's the bigger picture. It's about Jesus. And this Christmas season, I know there's a lot of things going on and a lot of things that can pull for our attention, but don't lose the bigger picture. In the bigger picture, it's Jesus. Like, he showed up. Things changed, forever changed. You know, my youngest daughter, Macy, the other day, I said to her, "Macy, you're growing up so fast on me." And she looked up at me and she says, "No, I'm not. I'm only 7. I want to be 10. And I thought that was so funny, because, like, to me, she has grown up real fast. To her, it's going slow, because she's young and she wants to be double digits, but she's only 7. But for me, I remember like when she was in diapers. I remember she was a newborn, just this little baby. She's grown so much since then. And her mama, she would elbow me in the middle of the night when the baby was crying. I'd get up and walk like a zombie to the other room and pick up the crying baby and bring it back so she could nurse and all that. And I remember all the different stages and her learning to walk. And so I've seen a lot of growth. I've seen a lot of progress. She doesn't see it. She doesn't even remember those first few years, but she's grown so much, and she's focused on what's next. She's focused on what is in front of her. That's how all of us live. We don't see all the progress on the big picture. We just see what's in front of us and where we want to be. But what I'm saying to you is that God is at work. He has been at work in your story. He's doing something bigger. It's about Jesus, what he's doing inside of you, how he's changing you, what he wants to do through you to impact this world. There's a bigger story at play. And so don't miss it this Christmas. Don't miss what it's really about. It's about Jesus. It's about his work inside you. It's about his work through you. Don't miss the bigger story. And the angels are like, hey, shepherds, hey, I know what you're doing is important. I know you got your grind. You got to get it done. But listen, there's something bigger happening in your life right down the street. If it's going on, there's something really special that's happening. See, God has an amazing plan, and it all centers around this name that's above every other name, this King that is the King of all kings, the name that will cause every knee to bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, and that's the name of Jesus, and that's what Christmas is really about. That's the bigger story for all of our lives. So don't get lost I don't know how this is going to work out and what's tomorrow going to hold. Listen, God is at work even in the chaos. He's at work. There's something more important going on. You know, sometimes we can forget that God's plan over time is so powerful. We think that, well, everything has to be microwaved. It has to happen now. It has to happen yesterday. And we're so like quick to want to like jump to conclusions. And God's patient. Like he's so much more patient than we are. In fact, it says that in the Bible that he's patient. And he's working out his plan, and he knows where he's going and where he's leading us. And sometimes we're just in a hurry to get there, so we make rushed decisions and reactions, and we get frustrated and discouraged and depressed because we want everything to come together now. Like, we want to see that finished puzzle piece, that masterpiece, like now. And it's a little messy, and it's not together, and we can get impatient. In fact, one of the best pieces of advice I got before we started Church Experience, a friend of mine who's a pastor, he said, Brandon, you know, we always think that God will do more in 1 year than what we ask or what we hope. And we always overestimate what can happen in that first year. But he says we always underestimate what God can do in 5 years. And I remember him literally saying that. We overestimate what can happen in a year, and we underestimate what God can do in 5 years. And I look back on that, and this last year was our fifth year as a church. And we're going to have our sixth anniversary in January. And I look back over these first 5 years, and man, he's absolutely right. Like, we came out of the gate trying to start a church and impact the city, and there was a lot of lives changed, but we were in the school for like years, and we couldn't get a building, and then we were in a hotel, and there was a lot of ups and downs and struggles and all of that. And then I look what happened even just this year, our fifth year, even though it was a hard year. And there was a lot going on all around us. Like, look what God did among us in our church family. We had prayed for a building for years. And God allowed us to have a win-win merger with a local church. And he literally gave us an incredible building. An incredible 21,000 square foot, amazing building. We would have taken forever to save up and buy something like that as a church, and God gave it to us. And it was a win-win for the church who needed us to partner with him and help improve their ministry as well. And what an amazing thing. We were praying this for a long time, for God to allow us to serve more people, to build his church, to grow and expand his church. And then look what happened this last year through that merger. Not only are we getting to serve people in two services, but now all four of those services in Dunedin. That's a miracle. That's amazing. Think about what happened before this year. We had announced in the prior year our desire was to expand and multiply God's kingdom, to start another location of Church Experience with its own pastor and for us to multiply. And now you look what began this year. Church Experience Wesley Chapel is in the pre-launch stage, and they hope to launch early next year. And they're building. There's a pastor there. There's a team. They're growing. They're reaching people every single week. It's amazing what God is doing. There's so many examples I could give you, and there's so much more I want to tell you. I'm looking forward next year already to our Vision Sunday. Things like that passion that we put down as a church. We say, hey, we're passionate together about dreaming big, taking risks, and expecting Jesus to show up. And we have two other church planters right now who've committed to say, hey, I want to launch one of them, Church Experience West Chase. And another one who said, I want to launch Church Experience Bradenton. And they've committed and they've gone through the process with this. And they're beginning the fundraising stage and they're preparing and sensing God's call in their life to move to these cities and launch a church. And we get to partner with them and work with them as one church with many experiences. And there's more that I can't wait to tell you, some really exciting things. And so I hope you'll be with us on Sunday, January 10, because it's actually the 6th anniversary of our church. We're going to share some amazing stories from the past, what God has done, and celebrate that. We're going to share some exciting vision for the future of where we're going as a church family. But here's my point in all that. I do want to share a little bit that, hey, there's some things coming I want you to know about. But what I more want you to see today is this. In your life, if you expect God to fulfill all of his purpose right now when you're in your 20s or in your 50s or whatever stage of life you are, you're never too young to be used by God. Look at Moses. He was like 80 when God really called him into his primary ministry. Here's what I'm saying. We expect God to do it all right then when we get the calling, when we get the vision. We're ready for it all to come together. All I'm saying is like we overestimate what he could do at the beginning and we underestimate what he could do throughout the whole story. Jesus came. He showed up. It was the greatest thing that ever happened, but those shepherds, they would have missed it. They would have missed it just like everybody else around. God is at work even when you don't see it in your own life. You don't see it, but he's at work. He's preparing that special person that's going to come into your life. He's preparing you for that calling, that career he has for you. He's preparing your character so you can handle whatever he brings to you. He's working in your life in ways you have no idea. You have no idea. So stay faithful. Stay true to him. Trust him. Trust his plan for you. It's better than you can imagine. So here's the lesson. I will watch for where God is at work. I'll watch for where God is at work. Now, let me finish that sentence in a minute. There's an and there, but let me come back to that. Because we need to talk for a second about watching. I will watch where God is at work. Because sometimes we don't get the whole picture. See, if you were to watch a video like this one I'm going to show you right here, if you were to watch a video like this, you'd be like, what is going on? Because this is called a silent rave. And I got to experience this, I think it was about a year ago. I went with our leadership and worship pastor, Noel, and we went to this, it was a silent rave. You put these headphones on, and there's this music that's bumping, and it's like dance music, and you want to dance, but the only people that can hear the music are the people with the headphones on. So if you're watching, like you're going to see my wife, Jennifer, was watching with the camera and laughing at me and having way too much fun at my expense, she couldn't hear the music. So it looks kind of funny. Just check this out. You'll see what I'm talking about.
Rachel, how should we define these moves? You're definitely owning the dance floor right there.
Man, isn't that good? Yeah, it's embarrassing. I debated whether I wanted to show you that or not, but it makes a really good point. See, the only people that could hear what was happening were those who had their headphones on. They were tuned in. They were dialed in, and they could hear it. We could hear it. It didn't help our dancing skills very much. But those who were on the outside looking in, they couldn't hear what was really happening. They could see some of the movements of the people, funny as they were, the movements. But they could see the movements, but they couldn't hear the song. They couldn't feel it. They couldn't sense what was happening. They just could kind of see a little glimpse of what was going on. But there's all these questions like, well, why are they all moving in coordination? Like, why are they moving? Why are they dancing? All kinds of questions we could go into, but they didn't have the full story. And sometimes we see glimpses of where God is at work in our life, but we just don't have the full story. We can't hear it all. We can't see it all. We just get a little bit. And it leaves us with questions. And what I want to say to you is that even though there might be questions, even though you have your list of why God, how come this? God, what were you thinking over here? Trust him. He's faithful. Jesus, why didn't he come earlier? I mean, there's all these problems in the world. Why did he come like this? There must have been a million questions. And Mary and Joseph themselves, like, why us? And why here? And like this. But when you look back on it, it's such a beautiful story. The King of all kings came humbly. He wasn't born in a luxurious and glamorous place, but he was born in a lowly place to represent the great extent of his love and how he came. It's just so precious and beautiful when you look at the Christmas story. And there's just so many aspects of it. And when you look back, it's right. But in that moment, it would have felt so wrong. There's no room for the coming king. How can that be? But it was exactly how God had it planned. And what I'm saying is just never forget that he's at work in your life. Look for it. Even though you don't have all the pieces, look for how God is at work. Let's go back to the Christmas story again in Luke chapter 2, down in verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. What an amazing story. The shepherds, they hear what's going on. They don't want to miss it, so they show up. They go lock eyes with Jesus. They experience the presence of this king that has come, Emmanuel, God with us. And then did you notice that verse 20, it says that the shepherds returned. The shepherds returned. And that probably for me is the exclamation point at the end of this Christmas story. Because they returned. They went back to their grind. They went back to being shepherds. For all we know, it says that the shepherds are still called, the word still calls them shepherds, and their life changed. They're forever changed. I mean, their whole perspective changed. I mean, everything changed. I mean, wouldn't it for you if you saw angels announcing the coming king in the sky, and then you go and you see him, and it's real, and it's like, wow, this changes everything. But then it says the shepherds returned. They went back. I mean, They were still sheep to be cared for. There were still families to provide for. They still needed a job and income, and they still had friends and the places where they lived and traveled. Now, everything was different now. They returned, but they were now on mission. They had a purpose. They had a why. They had a reason. There was something different. It wasn't going through the motions anymore. It wasn't religiosity. It wasn't this casual, okay, well, just it's another year. It's like, no, this is special. There's now purpose inside my chaos. And on the mundane days, the days that feel average and ordinary, there's something extraordinary that's happening even now because Jesus showed up, because I've seen him, because I've experienced him. Here's what I'm saying to you. If you'll experience Jesus and lock eyes with him, if you'll draw close like the shepherds, if you'll go and experience him up close and personal in your daily time with him, listen, when you return like the shepherds to your ordinary, whatever that is, when you return back to life as it's always been, you return not the same, you return different. Maybe same circumstances, but different mindset. Maybe same situation, but now with a different sense of mission. So here, let me finish that last sentence for you in your notes. I will watch for where God is at work and I will watch where he is at work and I will join him. I will join him on my mission field. I'll join him on my mission field, wherever that is, because you're needed right where you are. You're needed. God has a divine purpose, a divine mission for you to live on mission for him. You know, a new year's coming, and a lot of people, because of everything we've had going on, they're looking for something new. I just need something new. I need something different. I want to escape this current reality. I want something better. I want something new. But what if God's biggest goal for you next year was not something new? But what if it was a new you? What if that's what God was after? An awakening inside of you to fall in love with Jesus all over again, the coming king, to live for him, to see him, experience his presence, and then listen, like the shepherds, return. Return to the very same life that you had with the same people in the same circumstances. And even if it's still unideal and it's not right yet and the world still feels wrong, listen, God, when he gets things right inside of you, it can bring light even into the darkest times. Jesus wants you to be on mission with him. And when you join him, when you look for where he's at work and you join him on mission, I'm telling you, Christmas and the Christ inside Christmas, the message of Christmas, which is the gospel, that you can be forgiven of your sins as you receive the life of Jesus and the forgiveness of God through his son Christ. When you get that message inside of you, I'm telling you, it's going to spill out of your life into others' lives. And there's nothing better than being on mission with him. There's no greater gift than Jesus this Christmas. So will you join him? Will you join him in taking the message of Christmas beyond December 25 and taking it even into this new year with a new you, a new sense of his presence? You can do that by meeting with him every day, by worshiping him and letting his presence fill you like it did the shepherds, so you can return to beyond mission. Right on? Right on. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you came. You came, and what an amazing thing at Christmas that we can celebrate that Jesus, you came. And right now while we're praying, I want to encourage you just to thank Jesus for coming into your life. And while we're praying, maybe there's someone listening to this message is saying, I've never received Jesus into my life. And I want to encourage you right now in this moment to receive him and say, Jesus, I need you. I need you. I don't have all the answers, and life's not as it should be, but I need you. I want you. I receive you. Forgive me of my sins. Just pray right now. Forgive me of my sins. Jesus, I place my faith in you. He hears you. When you pray that, God, we pray that this coming year would be amazing as we follow you into the future that's unknown, that even when our circumstances are not right, that Jesus, that you would get our hearts right, that we'd look into your face, Jesus, and we'd walk away and even return into the world that we know that is not as it should be, but we'd return on mission like the shepherds did. They went around telling everybody about this great thing they experienced, which was Jesus. May that be us in this new year ahead, on mission, with the Spirit inside of us, leading us and guiding us. Jesus, we commit our way to you. We look forward with great expectation for what you're gonna do in our lives as we draw near to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen.
Thanks again for joining us today at Church Experience Online. Please don't forget to check out the website if you'd like to get more connected, learn more, get your questions answered, or support the movement financially. You're now gonna hear a Church Experience Worship original song. We hope this gives you an opportunity to worship and reflect on what you learned today.
Drawing us near, in fact. drawing us near, invited to your kingdom.